With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Our Green and Gold Insider, joining us here in studio. So, Mike, they can wreck a game. You better pay attention to them.
We were talking about this last night on the postgame show, and then this morning, you know, I was going through the TV version of the game that Radio Joe provided for us. Last Wednesday morning, I'm going to guess that Packers head coach Matt LaFleur got up in front of the group, and he said, all right, we've got to take these Chargers seriously, men. They're 3-5, but look at this roster. Look at this, look at this. And then look at this pass rush. Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram is back from injury. And these guys can wreck a game. Then Matt did his weekly press conference. You know, it's packed in the auditorium.
Yeah.
Right? And so one of the writers said, yeah, what about Joey Bosa and Ingram? He's getting back. I mean, is that a pretty good pass rush? And you heard that clip was what he said Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, you can wreck a game. Then you go around the locker room later in the week to say, hey, how's it going? How's the prep for the Chargers going? Yeah, that Ingram and Bosa, they can wreck a game.
Wreck a game.
And the players are saying. And then LaFleur has a production meeting with CBS where he sits down with Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. Yeah, what do you think about these Chargers? Yeah, these guys can wreck a game. And so you got Tony Romo saying it during the game, you know? And lo and behold, LaFleur made the correct prediction. Now, that doesn't account, though, for a team that comes out so sloppy with 70% of the crowd is supposed to be Packer fans, according to what the Packers knew.
Vivid Seats.
Sales.
Yes.
Vivid Seats, is that what they call it?
Yes.
They only had to, what was it? The final attendance was 25,435 in that dinky little place.
In that inflatable stadium.
And you were commenting, too. I think you texted me or something. Boy, look how this game is flying by. The game actually, the duration was 2 hours and 53 minutes. That was pretty fast.
Yeah, that's a fast game.
That's a fast game.
Yeah.
So you got these false starts. Now, Brian Bulaga, I brought this up last week, and there were some people saying, oh, come on, wait, why were we talking about a broken finger? Okay, I want you to go to your kitchen right now and move your refrigerator with broken fingers, and let me know how that works out. Or if you're Brian Bulaga, you got to deal with Joey Bosa all afternoon with a broken finger. And he had a splint on there, and you know, but you need everything you need, all of your talent, all your skill to deal with these guys and that pass rush. And they put Bosa and Ingram on the same side and kept on running that thing. And I don't know why they didn't, at some point they didn't make an adjustment where you're, I don't know, Danny Vitale or maybe Mercedes Lewis line up in the backfield to just, because they put those two guys on the right side, determined that Billy Turner and Bulaga with the hand was the weak link, and they blitzed both those guys in the side, and they got home on Aaron Rodgers. They hit him 7 times.
Right.
They sacked him 3. And then on top of that, you got false starts. Ingram likely jumps a little bit, and then Bulaga is trying to draw him, you know, with a false start.
Right.
So then you get 3 false starts in the first half. You know,
false starts and a delay of game.
Yeah, it's like 3 and out, 3 and out. You know, it's like a dozen plays. I mean, you know, the offense never got it. When you were talking earlier in your show about LaFleur saying, we never even got into our playbook. Well, you know, you script
this
stuff.
Whose fault is that?
Well, you script these things out for like 9 or 10, 12 play drives, right? If you're 3 and out and 3 and out, you can't get to the second and third levels of the way you want to develop this. I don't know why they got away from the run early. Brian Bulaga on the false start against Melvin Ingram.
Inexcusable lack of focus. I mean, I think on the one I pulled the trigger, I thought maybe he'd cross the line. Those are 50-50s. So it is, you know, I got to make sure he's offsides.
I thought that the Chargers, when I looked at did the prep last week, and I was like, man, this is a good roster. These guys are 12-4 last year.
Yep.
And now they've fired Ken Wisenhunt, and I thought, this will be a spark for these guys. This will light this team up. This will make them more accountable. They're getting some guys back. Melvin Gordon, he's been back for about 3 or 4 weeks, so this is almost like the season opener for him. You know, he's going to come out flying. And LaFleur said, yeah, guess what? The Chargers were ready to play.
You got to give the Chargers all the credit in the world. They came out. They came ready to play. They were more prepared. They definitely coached better than we did today. They definitely played better. And that's life in the National Football League. You better come and bring your A game each and every week, or you know, you'll have a performance like we had today.
So you come out in the second half. You're down 9-0. Didn't move the ball at all in the first half. And then they went to the CBS sideline reporter, Tracy Wolfson. And what did Matt LaFleur have to say just before he went into the locker room at halftime?
Guys, I had a chance to talk to Matt LaFleur going into the locker room. And remember what he told us when we met with him? He said, we got in a little late. He wishes that they did it a little differently. He was concerned about how his guys would react. He said, we are out here. We're playing tired. We have not woken up yet. He needs to see them wake up. He also said, in terms of handling Bosa and Ingram, we need to slide to them better.
Which they didn't.
No, they did not.
And when he says, you know, they got in late, well, she can't be talking about, I mean, the team arrived Friday. What could they be talking about getting in late? They got to the stadium late? You know, questions like that. No, he was talking about that, as you said earlier on the show, they didn't leave until after 5:30. They didn't get out there at 9 or 10 o'clock. And by the time you get off the plane, get to the hotel, it's 11 o'clock at night. And that these guys, they're off schedule.
Right.
You should be getting off a plane at 3 or 4, go to the room, check in, go out, have a lovely dinner, be back about 9. That's the routine. Aaron Rodgers was asked, when you have a dud of a game like this, I mean, what do you do?
I think you kind of rinse your hands a little bit, try to. That's what you'd like to do. But I think the best thing to do is to go back and be very brutally honest with your side of the ball and your own personal performance and, you know, knuckle down on some of the details. I think we just, you know, we were a little bit off, but I think more than that, the focus was off, and that was disappointing to see. You know, I just don't think we were locked in from the start, and we have been, you know, especially on this run we've been having. I don't know if it was the fact that we had an incredible Green Bay crowd today and or the fact that we were looking too much into what their record was, but it wasn't a good performance, and we got to improve from this point.
Yeah, it was. I like the fact that you just rinse yourself of it, but you also have to take a look at where you failed, and the humble pie thing comes into play in this.
And then Aaron said something about, you know, I don't know, maybe it was a lack of energy, lack of preparation. It said that earlier.
Yeah.
And toward the end of the press conference, I don't know if anybody heard this, he was asked, what do you mean, lack of energy?
Well, I'm just really talking about the offensive side of the ball. I just think that we weren't very focused. Obviously, we had some silly penalties that we're not used to having. That hurt us, you know, that especially when you only have three possessions in the first half. You got to make them count. So I'm just talking about the offensive side of the ball. We got to be, you know, honest with our, you know, our routine and decisions we made the last 48 hours and make sure that our head's in the right place the next time we come on a big road trip, which will just be in 3 weeks.
Which is San Francisco.
Right, that's what he's making a note of, because this was the learning experience. This is where Matt LaFleur says, okay, look, you know what? We had the bad game. Maybe we do things a little bit differently when we talk about our travel schedule, whatever, but you can't go to San Francisco and lay an egg like that either. You're going to get your butt kicked all over the joint.
Yeah, so interesting, you know. The decisions we made in the last 48, does that mean guys were out late Friday night? A lot of friends and family in town for the game from L.A., all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it'll be. Can hardly wait to see what that travel schedule is going to be like when they have to take on the 49ers.
Mike, I look at this game and I think, one, like he said, they didn't come prepared, but I can't help but also go back to the numbers and look at the early numbers in this game and all the balls forced to Devontae, the third downs, and all the long shots they were taking. It just seemed like the last 5 or 6 weeks without Devontae never took place offensively. Like they just forgot the offense altogether.
So. And when's the last? He was the leading receiver for that team. And the last time that he was the leading receiver, they lost to the Eagles.
Yeah, they did. There we go. Let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, joining us here in studio. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Stay on the ground. First down. And what a hurdle. Melvin Gordon
for the first time since coming back from the holdout, starting to be effective.
It was a point of emphasis. You know, if you look at when we've moved the ball down the field and been the most efficient, a lot of times it's when we're in our no-huddle offense. Shane did an outstanding job. I'm always going to get involved, but Shane, he would never have to look over his shoulder and call plays. He did an outstanding job. I thought he was aggressive when he needed to be aggressive, and he did a good job establishing a run when he had to.
Welcome back to the program. Glad to have you on board today. Hopefully you're enjoying yourself. 855-830-8640. If you want to chime in, you can. We got Mike Clemens here in studio, our Green and Gold Insider. Those are the words of Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the L.A. Chargers, who knocked off the Packers yesterday in, to their case, almost easy fashion, 26-11. They beat the Green Bay Packers. And we continue on. So, Mike, kind of going back to what he's somewhat talking about there. I mean, you know, the Packers just many different ways that they can get beat. Melvin Gordon had a big day yesterday. Ingram and Joey Bosa had a big day yesterday. You had
Eckler.
Eckler was another guy.
He had 70
had a big
yards
day.
Rushing. Melvin had 80.
Yep.
Eckler had 70. Melvin Gordon had 29 yards catching on three catches. And then you got the big tight end, Hunter Henry. There was no surprise here, folks. We talked about him. I mean, he's 6'6", 250, big kid over the middle. He was the leading receiver. You know, you got Mike Williams and Allen out there, and they didn't even have to go to those guys.
Right.
Remember we talked about this during the game? I just said, look at them. They just keep chipping away at the middle, man.
Yeah. Hunter Henry, just, big day yesterday.
7 catches, 84 yards. The longest was 19. And this was Hunter Henry in the Chargers locker room about, you know, they came into this game 3-5. They had just fired their offensive coordinator earlier in the week, and that turned it around. How did you believe you could beat a hot team like the 7-1 Packers coming in?
You know, we're a good team. We are. You know, we've lost, I think, every single game has been one possession game, obviously. We haven't swung our way. So I have a complete game. Our defense played awesome. Special teams played awesome. Felt like we played, you know, really well moving the football. We got to score some more points, but put some crucial touchdowns out there when we needed them. So, but, it, you know, we're a good team, and we just had to put a complete game together. So we got to start stacking them on, keep stacking them on.
You know, in a couple of weeks, they're going to go to San Francisco and play George Kittle, maybe the best tight end in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And they still haven't figured that out. You know, Kelsey
right.
got free in the game against the Chiefs. That's going to be a problem for this defense to figure out.
Look, when you talk about Hunter Henry and the over the middle being open and, you know, listening to Blake Martinez and listening to the guys, this is not something that's a one-day thing. This has been something that's consistently problematic for quite some time now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this Green Bay Packers team identity is an offense that can strike lightning fast in 5 or 6 plays if they use their misdirection and then they come back and they throw to Jimmy Graham and they throw to Devontae and they throw one down the sideline to MVS for 40 yards. The defense, this bend-don't-break thing, but, you know, they may give up a 70-yard drive, but then they get a turnover. They didn't get any turnovers yesterday.
Right.
Or on third down they blitz, and then the team has to kick a field goal. So, you know, you kind of thought that's the way the game was going when it was a field goal. But these 15 play drives to start the game, 8 minutes off the clock, or 13 play drives, 8 play drives that the Chargers were just grinding away. And Phil Rivers said after the game, hey, our offense could have been much better.
We weren't perfect by any means. We didn't turn it over. To me, the keys today were don't turn it over and score in the red zone and sustain drives. You know, don't give these guys the ball too much. Don't let Aaron be on the field too much. And that was a combination of our defense doing a great job and us staying on the field and getting first downs. We got to do a better job in the red zone. I was afraid those field goals early were going to hurt us. Look up and it's 9-0. After we really felt like we dominated the first half, I don't know how many offensive plays they had in the first half, maybe 15. But we look up and it's 9-0. But we did a better job of getting an end zone in the second half and turned out to be enough, and our defense was awesome.
They ran the ball. The Chargers ran the ball 38 times. And Anthony Lynn said last week, I'm changing coordinators because we got to run the football.
Yeah. Yeah, getting rid of Ken Wisenhunt, they get a little bit of a jolt, a burst out of the new offensive coordinator.
Phillip Rivers only had to throw it 28 times, completed 21 of those. Quarterback rating 108.3. The longest he hit Williams on the one for 56 yards. But listen to this. Listen to this. You and I, as we're watching this game develop, it's like, look at the just keep running up over the center with Melvin Gordon or Eckler. They didn't even use their fullback Watt that much yesterday, the kid from Wisconsin. And then they kept on running those crossing routes where? Right over the middle again.
Yeah.
You know, if you were the Bears' cover two defense back in the day when Lovie Smith was there, remember, they would shut down anything over the numbers to the sidelines. They'd take away your wide receivers. So, you know, Sherman or McCarthy, they'd have to move like a Donald Driver into the slot and start running slants. And he'd have to run either in front of or in back of 6'5", 6'6", you know, Brian Urlacher, who was also quick for a big middle guy like that. But, you know, those two deep safeties, and that's the way you would pick away. Well, this is what they're doing to Mike Pettine's defense. I mean, he's got Savage back there. He's got Adrian Amos sometimes playing up on the line. Blake Martinez is probably spying on the running backs. And so there's that spot. Now, listen, quarterbacks don't like to throw over the middle. Hands are up
too
in the air.
Too many hands, yeah.
You know, it's if Pettine says, if I'm going to have a soft spot, put it about 15 yards back there because a ball will go bouncing around. Well, we might get a pick or a turnover out of that. With Phillip Rivers, man, he kept on dinking and dunking, but taking it away. You know, and he's a tall quarterback.
Take what they give you.
So he was asked, why did you keep running the same crossing routes over the middle, running plays right up the middle, up the A-gap, up the middle throughout that whole game?
Well, I think based on what this defense was giving us, we just stayed with it. You know, I mean, you saw us in the same formation. I don't know, maybe 25 snaps. We were in three receivers and a tight end. And it was just, we kept getting the same look and kept getting the same look and kept getting the same look. And I think we just said, well, then let's just keep doing the same thing. And so, obviously, games won't always be like that. Teams are going to start blitzing and doing some different things, but they continued just to kind of hold tight and hang in there. And obviously, I'm sure they were hoping keep kicking field goals, and then when their offense gets rolling, we'll look up and it'll be 16-12, you know, 14-12, their way. You know, I'm sure that's what they thought, just keep holding us to field goals. But our defense kept doing such an unbelievable job that that it was enough.
By the way, Phillip Rivers, that little, you heard him there, he had his kid with him. Doing
holding his little
impressive.
Baby, he's got like seven kids.
But isn't that amazing? One. He said they just kept, they did the same thing. There's no, they didn't change anything.
They're not going to change, if they're not going to blitz me, why not?
So now you got to ask Mike Pettine, why are you not changing? I mean, Phillip Rivers just said you gave him the same look like 25 times.
And you know what Pettine's going to say? Because he said this last week. He says, you know, it's not about scheme. It's about execution.
Correct. When you do the same thing 25 times, the coach will get executed.
So, well, you got Melvin Gordon with a nice 16-yard run hurtling over people. You got the 56-yarder from Mike Williams. They're giving up these explosive gains again. Allen had one for 20 yards. Talking to big Kenny Clark, the nose tackle there. He's handling everything he can. He's been dealing with some shin problems out there. Does Mike Pettine, does he talk about these explosive games? You guys are up to, they're not, I think they're up to like 40 now for the season so far.
Yeah, that's been an issue for us all year, you know, just giving up explosive plays. You know, we study, you know, every week we're working on it, you know, whether it's, you know, mental lapse or, you know, us getting beat. We got to do a better job overall as a defense.
The most explosive plays given up in the National Football League is the Green Bay Packers. They're giving them up at an alarming rate. You know what I mean?
And they didn't get the turnovers yesterday, and they didn't get enough sacks. You know, they didn't seem to be able to make those plays. And you got Jaire Alexander back there in coverage with Mike Williams, and talked to him about the 56-yard of Mike Williams, the one that, you know, he said that he lost in the sun. And he got a little testy when one reporter said, you know, did you get a little too aggressive? Here's Jaire Alexander.
Good ball. Thought I had one. Thought I could undercut it. Good vet quarterback, you know, learning experience.
In hindsight, would a less aggressive play have been the better play on that?
You know, I'm going to let you answer that one.
I'm curious what you think, though.
I just told you what I think. I'm going to let you answer that one. That's what I think about it.
But You thought you had a good read on it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, it's vet quarterback, put the ball placement perfectly, you know. Just learning experience, that's all.
So are you guys living dangerously either way? We got to get these explosive plays under control.
Yeah, for sure. We definitely do. We got to limit them because, you know, I mean, we help them to field goals, but they shouldn't even been in field goal range a couple times. So, you know, we just got to evaluate the film pretty critically, you know, evaluate ourselves. And
you guys have been a pretty confident bunch.
So yeah.
You get knocked around a little bit like you did today. What does that do to that confidence?
None. N-U-N. None.
On the ball that Rivers kind of threw up there, did you lose that in the sun at all?
Nah, I lost it in the sun again. You know, one of them things. Sun beaming, Scotty. It's all good, though.
I think Leroy Butler would say, you're supposed to have the guy in front of you.
Right.
If you're going to have, you know, inside leverage like that and you're trying to make a play for the ball, you better get your hands on the ball.
Mm-hmm. The one that, and we said it at the time, it looked like he lost it in the sun, but you got to come down with that. I mean, I understand it, but you still got to come down with that. And the other thing is, he is an aggressive corner, and he doesn't get thrown out a ton. So he does try to make some plays, and when he does that, he can jump around, and if you don't get it, you get burned. And that's the reason Jair Alexander is getting this reputation for being this guy that's going to give up these big plays, because he's aggressive. He's taking some of these shots. Now, at times he's defended some passes, but he's not always guessed right. You know what I mean? Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back. Hey, don't forget one of our proud sponsors, Saz's. Saz's Steakhouse, plus all their catering. They're taking us down to Super Bowl. Mike Clemens and myself, we're heading down there. We're looking forward to it. And we can't do it without our friends over there at Saz's. They've been with us quite some time. Whether it's the baby back ribs, pulled pork sandwiches, or maybe they want to, you know, do the catering thing, the hospitality group. Whatever it happens to be, go to Saz's.com for all the mouthwatering menus. Whether it's dine in, carry out, or the big event party, they can take care of you. That is Saz's.com. Also, our friends at Curly's Waterfront Pub and Grill, Lakeview Boulevard in Pewaukee, overlooking the lake. Big selections of brews and cocktails and fresh-made food. Really good food, as a matter of fact. They have bands there on the weekend, ticket giveaways to all your favorite teams and games. They have raffles. Go to Curly'sWaterfrontPub.com. That's Curly'sWaterfrontPub.com. Or follow them on Facebook. Tell them we said hi when you head in there. And they have some availability. They're trying to pack the place. They got a wine and dine package going on. The Four Seasons, WI.com. Four Seasons Island Resort in Pembine, Wisconsin. They have some really incredible specials. If you are looking for a getaway, maybe you're going to go up there for the weekend and then come down to the Packer game after the fact, take advantage of it. The wine and dine package is going on right now. Call them, 715-324-5800. 715-324-5800. 5800, or go to the4seasonswi.com. A terrific place to stay. Got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show. Wrapping it up with Mike Clemens next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
And now here you go, first and goal. Watt comes in as the fullback. Gordon, the tailback. They'll give it to Gordon. He's in for the touchdown.
Nah, it's the NFL, man. Yeah. No, nothing surprised me in this league, man. Sure. Every team going to come out, regardless of what their record is or what, you know, they may be statistically, they're going to come out and give their best. We just didn't play our best tonight, and we just got to fix that, and we got to get back to being us as
man,
a defense.
I'm going to tell you this, too, man. It was a wake-up call for us, man, because we went 7-1, and I don't feel like it, but, you know, some people probably got comfortable in this situation, and we're really basically – what's the word I'm looking for?
Humble.
Humble about the situation and going to work for it and get better each and every week as we prepare for the next team.
Preston and Zadarius Smith there, and they used the exact same words that Aaron Rodgers used. They got humbled. Some people in here got comfortable. It's like Matt LaFleur gave a speech, and then they took that speech and spread it to the masses.
Post-game speech.
Yeah. People sure. In here got comfortable.
Give them some words.
This
give
is me, humble.
Give me some
know.
Focus.
So
that's good for a team, I suppose.
Yeah. So they all seem to parrot the same thing, and you hope that that's the message and it sinks in.
And now Zadarius, your defensive team captain, as voted by his peers, he's going to be humbled because he's got to go to court this week.
Mm-hmm. You brought up something really interesting, and I know we only have a couple of minutes, but one of the things that I led the show with in that particular sense was, because in that article, when he got busted for speeding and then obviously the marijuana in the car, he kind of said at first, what weed, to the officer, and then afterwards said, okay, I'll take this one. This is on me. And you had said, you wonder if he knew it was there and maybe somebody else had brought it. because I asked what that might do in that locker room. And he, one, being a veteran, saying, this is on me, I'll take it. Okay, first of all, it's your stuff. That's you standing up and saying, I got to do what's right. Secondly, if it wasn't, and you're the team leader, and you just took the bullet for one of the young guys, that you become a superhero.
Packers lost to the Eagles on Thursday Night Football. And we heard from some of the players, yeah, you know what? We're going to get out of town. We got this, like, mini bye. And the defensive guys, come on, let's go down to Chicago. Let's put this behind us. Let's get together as a team, talk this thing through and all that. And they went to Chicago for a couple of days. So Za'Darius Smith is driving back. He's 27 years old, along with a couple of rookies, Rashawn Gary and Kingsley Kiki. And they get pulled over for speeding. You're going 81 miles an hour during that construction area that's in Racine County that's had so many fatal crashes, like a crash a day, where it's only supposed to be 60 miles an hour. They get pulled over for speeding. Then the officer says he smells marijuana.
Right.
Then he asks to go and have an, you know, can I inspect your vehicle? And he finds a couple of blunts, a couple of these marijuana cigars. So Za'Darius was asked about, now he's facing this speeding and this this marijuana possession arrest.
To tell you the truth, I cannot talk about it. It's a legal situation now. But to everybody who's watching, man, all my fans, you know, that's not me. I'm not that guy. I just want to apologize to everybody. I know tomorrow I'm going to address it to the team and apologize to them too also, man. So that's all I can say about that situation.
Is it a distraction for you? I mean, is it hard to keep that out of your brain?
No. It's not a distraction, man. I still went out here and gave it all I had, man. It's just one of those situations where we got to overcome this. I know next week I'll know more, but I don't know nothing right now as far as the situation goes.
It's public information, court records. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel breaks the story about 5:30 Friday night, and next comes the court date.
There it is. And the court date, I think, has been pushed back to Thursday now, correct? Right. So there you have it. All right, time for us to go. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it.
You bet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.